We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
Obviously, there's still a great deal of uncertainty about where the economy will go next year and how long we'll see this strong consumer demand and what will happen with tariffs and trade and the kinds of things that sort of are external factors that can't be controlled. But overall, I would say 2018 has been an amazing year. It's been one of the best years in the retail industry in a decade. And there's a lot of optimism and a lot of opportunity. And that's really been something that most of the CEOs I've talked to have noted right from the very beginning.
I'm Bill Thorne from the National Retail Federation, and this is Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. It's that time of year when we take a moment to reflect on the past year here at the National Retail Federation, how we've grown, what our accomplishments have been, and where we want to go in the future. On today's episode, we're pleased to have our own Matt Shea, President and CEO of the National Retail Federation, to chat about what NRF has been up to in 2018 and what 2019 will bring NRF and retail. I'm joined today by my friend, my colleague, and co-host, Sarah Rand. Hello, Sarah.
Good morning, Bill.
How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Why are you fantastic?
Because we get to break a podcast rule.
What rule is that?
That we are going to talk about what time of year it is.
What time of year is it?
It's the end of 2018.
And we're about to hit 2019.
Yes.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
It's been a great year, a busy year.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody knows that better than our guest, Matt Shea. Hello, Matt.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Nice to be with you.
It's good to have you here with us. And
it's been a while. I never get invited.
You do get invited.
Once.
But
once a year, whether I need it or not.
Well, you get invited. Let's just leave it at that.
Okay, fair.
The interesting thing is you think about your year and you think about invitations. You've been on the road a lot. I mean, traveling across the world. You actually circumnavigated the globe recently to do a series of meetings.
Magellan and I.
Yeah. It's pretty extraordinary.
Yes.
I mean, but it really speaks to retail and what's happening in retail right now. So give us a sense. I mean, from those travels, things that you're seeing and hearing both domestically and abroad, how is retail doing?
I would say that, first of all, I think it's a great time for the industry. We've seen many of the investments that retailers made over the past several years really starting to pay off this year with real traction and real engagement with consumers. That whole notion that we started talking about several years ago called convergence of the online and the bricks and mortar really coming together in a new experience. We were maybe a little bit ahead of the curve in starting to talk about that. We've really seen it this year, I think. The thing I guess I noticed as we travel around the world is as global as the industry is, and it clearly is global and it's connected, it is different in every country and wherever you go. So whether in Southeast Asia, whether in Australia, New Zealand, whether in Europe, South America, I mean, all over the world, there are different characteristics of retail. And I happen to think that the kind of work that's happening here in the U.S. right now is really exciting, even though there's lots of exciting things in other parts of the world as well.
Do you think if you look at, again, that global experience, are we following them? They following us, working together? I mean, how is that working? Because, you know, retail is global. They, to your point, they face the same challenges, the same opportunities. Who's leading that charge?
I would say, and I said this a few weeks ago, I was in Brussels at a meeting with the board of a European, kind of pan-European organization that represents retailers and consumer packaged goods companies and manufacturers. And I said there what I say every time we go abroad and meet with retailers and business executives, and that is that even though we've got a unique brand of retail here in the U.S., we learn from everyone. Ours isn't the best. Ours is just different. And so I'm not sure that you could say there's any one region that's necessarily leading the others. I think everyone learns from each other, and different consumer markets are at different sort of parts of the continuum along that journey. And I think in the U.S., there's a much higher level of recognition that consumers expect real convergence. They have a different level of expectation. They view the online and the bricks and mortar world really as one world, and they don't make a distinction. And I think it's true in other parts of the world, particularly in Europe, that there still is this sense of there's the bricks and mortar world and there's the online world. And it's just interesting to go there and then come back here, because that's a distinction that I feel like in the U.S. has pretty much fallen by the wayside. No one really makes that distinction anymore.
I think you're right.
You're talking to a lot of CEOs, both here and abroad. What kept them up at night in 2018? And what do you think they're most concerned about for 2019?
Well, I think in 2018, there was probably, this is somewhat facetious, but part of it was, how am I going to meet consumer demand? How am I going to find the workers I need? I mean, the kinds of challenges this year were different than 2017 in tax reform, and some of the elements of tax reform, one of the particular elements that was described by some CEOs as an existential threat to the industry because the way it was going to change business. I think this year it's been different kinds of challenges, but maybe more of a positive sort, that worker shortages, you know, the competition for talent, meeting the consumer demand, which has been very, very high this year. Obviously, there's still a great deal of uncertainty about where the economy will go next year and how long we'll see this strong consumer demand and what will happen with tariffs and trade and the kinds of things that sort of are external factors that can't be controlled. But overall, I would say 2018's been an amazing year. It's been one of the best years in the retail industry in a decade. And there's a lot of optimism and a lot of opportunity. And that's really been something that most of the CEOs I've talked to have noted right from the very beginning.
Consumer confidence has played a big role, I think, in the economic recovery and how things are going. And, you know, I believe we had the opportunity a few weeks ago to do a call related to our holiday forecast. And, you know, a lot of the things that we were reading about, a lot of what was being reported on at the time was the great experience consumers were having in store on Thanksgiving, Black Friday, and subsequent days after that. And so I think that a lot of that enthusiasm that the consumer has is being fed by the retailers really meeting the needs. And that, to your point earlier, the investments, making sure that they are responding to the consumer and the consumer is having a great experience. Now, when we talk, does omnichannel still exist, Matt? I mean, do we think of it as omnichannel?
I don't think anybody thinks of it that way anymore, because that's like there's one channel, and I don't think people think of it as a channel. I think people just think of retail as an experience. And that word comes up still. I'm not actually going to say the word. But I know some people say it, and then they say it, and they quickly disavow it and say, yeah, but I hate the word, or I hate that. So I think that's, you know, 5 years ago, people were talking about that. Right. Now we just live in a world in which, you know, there really aren't distinctions about the way in which you engage with a retailer. You just have an expectation that when you want to engage with that retailer, you engage across all of the, you know, all the various ways you interact with them, and it's very seamless. In fact, I'll give an example. I won't name the company, but I went into a store a couple of weeks ago and tried to buy a jacket, and they said, we don't have that color here. We can order it for you, or we can get it from another store, but if we order it online, you can't return it here. And to me, that was like a bucket of cold water in the face, because now almost every retailer you go to, you can buy it online and have it shipped to the store. You can order it in the store and have it shipped home. If it gets shipped to your house and doesn't fit, you can return it to the store. And this was a company that still, and I found out later, it was because of an ownership structure. So the website's controlled by one part of the business and the store someone else. But that's the exception.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think 5 years ago, that was more the rule. And today, it's the exception. So these last 5 years, that journey about syncing inventory and the sort of software management programs and the supply chain and the distribution center. Look, the challenges of making that happen are mind-boggling. And I think the industry's really sort of pulled itself forward with one great leap to a time now where an experience like the one I had is sort of a shock to a consumer, whereas 5 years ago, it would have been the expectation.
Right, right. You know, I've got to bring it up because we talk about it all the time. because it drives me crazy.
Georgia football.
I knew you were going to go there with your Ohio State. Enjoy that playoff bowl.
We're both left out.
I know. But we're keeping our coach, which is really a good thing. But you got a good coach coming in at Ohio State. Yep. Proven that he's a winner. But, okay, so the thing that we actually talk about a lot is the death of retail, the apocalypse. It's over. It's done. You're talking to a bunch of CEOs. It's the Walking Dead or not.
Yeah, I think it's retail is dead, long live retail. I mean, that was the story in the fourth quarter of 16 and the first quarter of 17, maybe a little bit. But that story seems to have been completely knocked down. Now I think we all, and talking to CEOs about this, I think everyone recognizes that there will continue to be challenges. There are going to continue to be companies that may not successfully make the transition to the new retail and be able to meet consumer demands and compete in this environment. That's not different from the way the world has always been. There are always companies in every industry that don't make it to the next evolution of that industry. But I think the notion, the pervasive sense, at least among investors and analysts and some segments of the media, that every headline about retail needed to begin with sort of a declarative statement, retail is dead, we all know it. This is the ice age, we all recognize that. This is an apocalyptic moment for retail. Let's just all get that out on the table. I mean, that just doesn't come up anymore. Yeah. And a year and a half ago, every conversation with the media began with that. It was sort of like, this is where we are, now you tell us why we're not there. And it just, today just doesn't come up.
Yeah, it was maddening. I mean, it was just absolutely insane how... Even, but you know, to your point a little bit, the fact that it was in the articles that we were reading, it was the journalists, people that would know better, you think, the analyst community, and you know, they would make these comments, they would have these observations, and there's nothing to back it up. It was all clickbait. It was just, you know, going along with the storyline, and then all of a sudden, boom. I mean, retail is thriving. We're constantly, every year, better sales, better experiences, better scores. So I'm very, very glad that particular narrative that I know that you worked on very hard as we look at 2018 and we'll go to 2017, you know, to change that narrative seems to have worked.
Yeah.
You guys convened a bunch of analysts and retail leaders this fall. If they're not talking about the retail apocalypse, what were you guys talking about?
Well, I think that's a continuing journey. We started to get this analyst group together 2 years ago to help push back on the narrative. And I think we continue to do that. They're not all there. One of the media, one of the segments I did on Black Friday, had a little conversation with one of the hosts about people still using the wrong metrics. And I think we're at this period now where we haven't been able to achieve industry consensus on what are the new metrics to measure the health and success of retail. But I think we're at a point where people recognize there's an acknowledgement we do need new metrics. Whereas a year and a half ago, no one agreed on that. Now I think everyone agrees we should be measuring the health and success of a retail company differently than we have historically because retail's changed. So we've at least gotten people that far, but we're not all the way there yet to get the analyst community and investors to say, okay, I know what success looks like based on these factors, whether it's their high level of digital execution or the way they curate and identify new brands or whether it's sophistication and efficiency of supply chain inventory management. I mean, there are indices that I think you can say companies that at one level, you know, operate with these kinds of characteristics and companies that at another level don't. So we're getting people there, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, it's critically important. I mean, I don't think anybody, any organization has a better platform to tell that story with as great credibility as the National Retail Federation certainly is the leader. So, you know, that's 2018. 2019, what's up?
Well, I think, you know, consumers, as we have been discussing, consumers have shrugged off all the distractions, all of the noise and nonsense that consumes, you know, headlines and, you know, TV sound bites and, consumers just seem to be chugging along. The unemployment rate is at an historically low level. Consumer confidence is very high. Wages are growing. There's real think real traction in consumer spending power. People feel good about their job prospects, higher degree of mobility in the workforce. More than 7 million unfilled jobs, fewer than 6 million unemployed Americans. I mean, the first time in history, or at least since we've been measuring that we've got that kind of a mismatch in vacancies and employment or unemployment. So we're poised to continue to have a great year next year if some of these external things, if we don't get into a trade war, if we don't jack up tariffs on all the imports from China, if we don't walk away from, you know, the new NAFTA 2, the U.S.-Canada-Mexico free trade agreement, U.S.-Mexico-Canada free trade agreement. So, I mean, there are policy challenges, and then certainly there are economic challenges. What does the Federal Reserve do on interest rates based on what's happening in the economy and, you know, what happens in other parts of the world? Certainly there are things that are out of our control, but, you know, if we avoid self-inflicted wounds, we could have another fabulous year in 2019.
What about NRF? I mean, we've got the big show coming up.
Yep. So our annual convention is, since we're going to disclose what time of the year it is, we're breaking a retail gets real rule. So we've got about a month to the big show, to our annual convention. We'll have 40,000 people there. Lots of CEOs from a whole wide range of segments representing the retail industry. Great exhibitors on the show floor, lots of energy, 1,000 members of the analysts and media communities will be there. So and lots of deals get done. I mean, lots of big deals get announced on the show floor. Lots of press releases go out. Lots of companies create new partnerships. And so it's really a jumping off point for the year, for the industry.
Great speakers too.
And some great back to the CEOs, some of the people that are going to be there. We've got, you know, a whole long list, and I could, you know, Brian Cornell of Target will be there, and Alex Gourlay of Walgreens will be there, and Marvin Ellison of Lowe's, and Hubert Joly of Best Buy, and Chris Baldwin of BJ's, and sort of the list goes on and on. So I'm excited because I think this could be one of the best shows in recent memory because the content's fabulous and the timing is really amazing to be getting the retail industry and the community together as we come off what I think is going to be one of the best holiday seasons, maybe in a decade.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because you talked about the energy. It is palpable at the big show. People are just really excited to be there. There's just this level of energy that you don't see at big shows like that normally. And I think this year is going to be really exceptional in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah. This show's big enough that everyone's there, but it's not so big that you're lost.
Right.
And you still feel, I mean, you can still, if you want to talk to, you know, the 15 or 20 CEOs that are going to be doing keynote sessions, you can find them and talk to them and they'll stop. And, you know, we've got 1,000 students there, part of our student program. We do our foundation gala celebrating retail careers. We'll raise $2 or $3 million in one night to devote to new initiatives to create workforce opportunities for people to come into the industry. So there are lots of dimensions to the week, all of which I think make it a really special time to be together.
Sarah?
So we work really hard on making the big show the biggest and the best every year. And then we all turn around.
It is the biggest and it is the best.
The biggest.
Forget about the BS we hear from some other carnival barkers.
It is the best. Retail's best show, NRF 2019. But that's January. And then we have the rest of 2019 to come back to and make great for our members.
What are we going to do?
What else are we going to
do? What do we do the rest of the year?
You're the leader. You tell us.
Is there more to do after the show? I thought after that we
could take a long nap.
I thought we took 11 months off after that.
That would be awesome.
No, well, obviously we'll have a new Congress. And so the politics of Washington will change. We'll have all the economic issues that we've sort of alluded to that are going to be potentially impacting the industry one way or the other. We'll do other events, other programs. We've got our shop.org, our digital event happens later in the year. We've got multiple other programs that serve various segments of the community. So we've got a full agenda of other activities we'll be engaged in. And we keep telling the story of the industry. I think that's our number one job, as Bill reminds us all the time. We're the storyteller for the retail industry, and we're always telling those stories.
And they're great stories.
We do have more work to do after January.
Well, regrettably.
You guys do, yeah.
Regrettably, not that we have more work, but regrettably, we're getting short on time. And before we go, we have one more segment, Matthew. It's called Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire. Thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
For this segment,
steak.
No.
Red wine.
Wait. I know.
Chocolate.
That all makes a lot of sense to
me. Skiing.
Well, look, just continue.
We're playing Jeopardy. We have to come up with a question after.
I was going to say, what is your favorite drink? Red wine. What is your
hockey?
What is your favorite sport? Okay, this is a new way of doing rapid fire. Sarah, lead us off beside what Matt has already led us off.
Well, since we get to reveal what time of year it is, how much of your holiday shopping have you completed?
Very little. No, I'm speaking myself. Allison's a woman I know. For all those people that
you better know,
I guess I've just disclosed.
We'll make sure she doesn't hear this episode.
Yeah. She's got most everything done for the kids, but I haven't done my share yet. So I've got a little work to do.
I was telling Sarah, and I know this sounds like it makes me the troglodyte that I am, but I was in the airport this past Sunday, and I got probably half my shopping done sitting in a restaurant waiting for my hamburger because I did it mostly online.
There you go.
Is that bad?
I don't. It's not bad.
Matthew, what is your ideal vacation?
Skiing in the mountains. Or somewhere in the mountains, but in the mountains.
Okay.
What's the first app you open on your phone each morning?
They're news related because I start getting your emails at 5:10 in the morning. So
the first app, I open my email, but then I get all the news feeds. So I would say the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Politico, Axios, I would open all those. That's where I start.
What's always in your refrigerator, Matt?
Milk and lots of it.
What's always on your desk?
Pictures of my kids.
Childhood hero?
My high school football coach.
Someone you want to trade places with for a day.
James Mattis, Secretary of Defense.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah.
We're going to leave it at that one. And Matt, we just want to take a moment to thank you for spending time with us. We know that you're a busy guy. And we're
pleasure to be with you.
Grateful for
happy holidays.
Your insights. Happy holidays to you and to all of you listening out there and joining us here on Retail Gets Real. For more information about the topics we discussed today on it, visit our website, retailgetsreal.com. If you like the show, do us a favor and recommend it to a friend or a colleague. And to learn more about NRF, visit nrf.com. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.